بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سئل من أحسن الناس قراءة، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من إذا قرأ رأيت أنه يخشى الله عز وجل، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم، اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. The hadith which I have been honored to mention in front of you is actually a hadith that we discussed one morning after the Fajr Salah. But the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are such that, as I say, it is an ocean in a glass. On the face of it, it is one sentence. But when you go into the depth of it, then it is an ocean of knowledge. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, "Utitu jawami' al-kalim." I have been given Jawami'ul Kalim. Jawami'ul Kalim means comprehensive speech. Comprehensive speech means speech that the words number little, but the meaning hidden within them is vast. And this is a great example of one of them. Sayyiduna Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma relates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked that man ahsadun nasi tilawatan, whose tilawa, whose qira'ah, whose recitation of the Quran is the best. When it comes to a'mal, then there are two aspects of any a'mal which you have in your life. One is the quantity. Take the example of tilawa of the Quran. One is the quantity. In the quantity, there will be a compulsory level. For example, according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, it is compulsory that the entire Quran is finished at least twice in a year. This is the compulsory level. Quantity cannot go below that. That is the compulsory level. And then, after that, quantity can increase to whatever a person wishes to. And the other aspect to any ibadah which you carry out is the quality. Quantity and quality. In the scales on the day of judgment, it is not just the quantity of a'mal which will be weighed. The quality of every a'mal will also decide its weight. So it is possible that a person comes with a large amount of a'mal, but because of the quality or the lack of quality, they do not weigh as much as a person that comes with a small amount of a'mal, whose quality is higher. The ulama have said that in the scales, maqadirul a'mal, the weight of each action depending on its quality and quantity will be weighed. And the sahaba radiallahu anhu knew this. That is why one of the sahaba radiallahu anhu asked this question, that We do understand that we need to increase our tilawah as much as we can. Here I should mention regarding quantity, that when we say that a person should have a lot of quantity of the recitation of the Quran, that means first and foremost he should do it regularly. The most important aspect of quantity is doing it regularly. If a person fixes any portion of the tilawah of the Quran, but he fixes an amount that he feels that he can do regularly, and we are not, let us not just take this topic in the context of the month of Ramadan, where we try to free ourselves up more so than usual. Let us take this topic in the context of the entire year and our entire life.
A person should fix an amount that he feels is possible to do regularly.
The ulama and the mashayikh, the elders, they usually encourage that a non-hafiz should try to recite one juz. And a hafiz should try to recite three juz. But that does not mean a non-hafiz feels that I can't recite one juz, so he is on zero.
One juz is the target.
But if a person feels that, no, I don't have the time. I don't have the time, or whatever reason, my inclination towards reciting the Quran is such that I know that I will not be able to keep up one juz. Then start with quarter juz. In fact, if a person feels that I have not opened the Quran regularly at all, so I will find even quarter juz difficult, then even if he starts with one page, that is okay. But it must be done regularly. Anything which is done with regularity becomes abundant. Even if you take a quarter, but you do it with regularity, in four days you will have done one juz. Before you know it, you will have done one khatam of the Quran. So when it comes to quantity, the most important aspect is regularity. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلَّ. The most beloved actions in the eyes of Allah are those that are done أَدْوَمُهَا, constantly, regularly. وَإِنْ قَلَّ, even if they may be small. Once the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they went to Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, and they asked her that, they inquired as to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's a'mal, his ma'mulat. What did he use to recite, his actions, etc. They knew that Aisha radiallahu anha, she is within the home. She has the details that we don't. So they said that, what actions did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam love? So Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved those actions, madima alayhi, which were done constantly. This was the speciality of his actions, they were done constantly. In fact, the actions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were done with so much regularity that, for example, the tahajjud salah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is one of the most difficult actions, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do it with so much regularity that the day he would fall ill, or by chance through the qudra of Allah, he would oversleep and he would not wake up for the tahajjud salah. Then the number of rak'at which he would perform of the tahajjud salah at night, which was usually 8, he would make sure to perform that the next day before the afternoon comes, so that the regularity remains. Regularity is key in quantity. My teacher and sheikh, he gives a very beautiful example. He says that, imagine you have a rock and you have 10 liters of water, and you turn the 10 liters of water upside down on the rock. The rock will be washed clean, but there won't be a mark left on the rock. And instead, you place the bucket above the rock and you put a small hole in the bucket, and you let the water drip, drop by drop, fall onto the rock. Before you know it, there will be a mark on that stone there. Similarly, if a person wants to benefit spiritually from his ibadah, he wants to strengthen himself spiritually, he wants them to have an effect on his heart, then he needs to do them regularly. Then they will slowly but surely have an effect on his heart. So that is with regards to quantity. But here, this hadith, the Sahabi radiallahu anhu was asking regarding quality. That what is the best tilawa in terms of quality? أحسن الناس تلاوة. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the person who, when you see him recited, when you hear him recited, then straight away you can tell that يَخْشَى اللَّهُ. He has the quality of khashiyah, of khashiyah. What is this quality?
To understand this hadith, we need to understand this quality of khashiyah properly. يَخْشَ اللَّهِ. Often this is translated as he fears Allah. But this translation does not do justice to what this means. Fear is of two types. One is that fear that a person has from a snake, from a harmful animal. This is the fear that is born out of a person being worried for himself, that I will come to harm. This is the first type of fear. This is not the fear which is being talked about in this hadith. And in fact, when Deen tells us to fear Allah Ta'ala, then this is not the fear that Deen is talking about. Khashiyah refers to that fear which is born when the love and greatness and reverence of someone settles in your heart. A person, he has love and reverence for his parents. So his parents say that by Saturday, this, get this job done, please. So Saturday comes, he is rushing, he is busy in other tasks, but that will remain on his mind. He will worry and he will fear that, what if I don't get this job done? This worry and this fear is not because I will receive a telling off from my parents or some harm will come to me, no. This fear and this worry is born out of the love and reverence which is in his heart for his parents. So this thought that my parents will become displeased with me, he cannot bear it. And because of that, he has this fear. That what if the task doesn't get done? I need to make sure the task gets done. It is this fear of Allah Ta'ala which Deen encourages us to inculcate in our hearts. But our Deen is very beautiful. It caters for everyone. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala knew that a human's nature is that he runs away from harm. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, to aid us in the initial stages, he tells us to inculcate the fear of Jahannam, that we will be harmed if we disobey Allah Ta'ala. The fear of the punishment and the wrath of Allah Ta'ala, that we will be harmed if we disobey Allah Ta'ala. But this is not the end goal. The end goal is that a person, he begins obeying Allah Ta'ala, he inculcates the love and the reverence of Allah Ta'ala in his heart. And as a result of this, he fears Allah Ta'ala. And there is a vast difference between these two types of fear. The person who has the first type of fear, it may force him to do something. The person who fears the snake, who fears the lion, he will stay away from these places where they reside. So it forces him to behave in a certain way. If someone tells him to do something who has authority over him and who he genuinely fears, not out of love and reverence, he fears that this person will harm me if I do not obey him, then he will carry out what the person is telling him to do. But he will never enjoy doing it. But the person who has love and reverence for someone, when they tell him to carry something out, when he is asked by them to carry something out, then he will carry it out and he will enjoy doing it as well. He will be happy and satisfied that he is doing it. This thought that I am gaining the pleasure of the one who I have love and reverence for will make him enjoy his action. And until a person does not inculcate this type of fear of Allah Ta'ala, which is born out of love and reverence, he will not enjoy the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. And when this fear of Allah Ta'ala, which is born out of the love and the reverence of Allah Ta'ala, is inculcated in your heart, then you will enjoy obeying Allah Ta'ala. You will enjoy staying away from the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. My teacher of hadith, of Sahih Muslim, Hazrat Maulana Ayaz Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, a very pious personality. I once heard him saying in a talk that a person, he makes effort to control his gaze. And it is difficult. It is displeasing. He dislikes it. But for the sake of Allah, he makes effort control in his case. And every time he makes effort, then he feels it. But as he carries on making this effort, and slowly but surely the quality of khashiyah, the love of reverence of Allah Ta'ala increases in his heart, then a time will come when he will enjoy lowering his gaze. Before he enjoyed not lowering his gaze, but for the sake of Allah, he took on this suffering. But as the khashiyah and the love and reverence of Allah Ta'ala grows in his heart, a time will come when he will enjoy lowering his gaze. And that is exactly what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in a hadith. That an-nadratu sahmun min sihami iblis masmum. That the glance, which is against the wishes of Allah Ta'ala, it is an arrow from one of the poisonous arrows of shaitan. What does it mean? One is you have an arrow. An arrow wounds someone. But the difference between an ordinary arrow and a poisonous arrow is that the arrow wounds someone, but that is where the wound is. That is where the damage is done. If the arrow hits the arm, that is where the damage is done. But the poisonous arrow, it hits the arm, but the poison spreads in the whole body. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that this misuse of the eyes, it is one sin, but spiritually it affects the whole body. And thereafter he says that man tarakaha makhafat Allah, that whoever leaves it out of the fear of Allah, then abdalaha Allahu imanan yajidu halawataha. In return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the sweetness of iman. That a time will come when he will enjoy lowering his gaze. It will feel sweet to him. This comes when the heart holds the love and the reverence of Allah Ta'ala. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran? Alam tara anna Allah anzala min as-sama'i ma'a. In the Quran, we see some topics being repeated time and time again. The oneness of Allah Ta'ala, Jannah, Jahannam. Time and time again. Rarely you will find a surah which is empty of these. One of the topics which you see repeated time and time again in the Quran are the blessings and the bounties and the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. And the reason for this is that for us to succeed, we need to obey Allah Ta'ala. And for us to become fully obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to have the love and reverence of Allah Ta'ala in our hearts. And every single favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person ponders upon it, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be created in his heart and the reverence of Allah Ta'ala. How? Because it is natural that when someone does a favor upon you, then love for him increases. Love for him is created. I always say by way of example that someone who does such a small favor that you are on public transport, you are on the bus with some luggage, and a complete stranger helps you to take your luggage off, then you don't even know his name yet, but some inclination in your heart is created for him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showered the most favors upon us that anyone can possibly shower upon us. In fact, every single favor carried out by anyone else is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided that he do that favor to us. Our parents feed us, clothe us, love us because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that feeling within their hearts to do that for us. So in fact, it is the favor of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has carried out innumerable favors upon us. So every person's heart should be full of the love of Allah Ta'ala. But because we don't think about these favors, we don't ponder upon these favors, we don't realize these are favors. So our hearts are not full of the love of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran time and time again reminds us of these favors so that we understand that yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done this for me.
He has sent water down from the sky. Because of this water, how much do I benefit? It is vital for my survival. Few days were to go without water, I would be suffering unbearably. And then as a result of this water, so many other benefits. Crops grow. I eat from these crops. Animals eat from these crops. I eat from these animals. Great favor of Allah Ta'ala. So this is one reason Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions these favors time and time again in the Quran. And the other reason, every single favor also is a window to the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. If you carry on with the example of water, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sends out water. And in an amazing system, the system is such that the water coming down never runs out. And at the same time, the water on the earth never reaches such a level that everyone is drowned. No, there is a system and it remains in balance. It only goes out of balance where Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for a few moments wishes to show that He is in control of it and no one else is in control of it. So every single favor is a method of embedding the greatness, the reverence and the love of Allah Ta'ala in one's heart. And the reverence and the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, these are the two qualities that create khashiyah and khashiyah, that create this fear of Allah Ta'ala. So I was saying that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says in the Quran, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَعَ. He mentions a few of his favors. That don't you see that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sends down water from the sky? فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ. So that is already a favor for you. And every person understands. Then فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ ثَمَرَاتٍ مُخْتَلِفًا أَلْوَانُهَا. He, through that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala takes out crops from the earth. That is another favor. But these crops from the earth, one thing goes into the ground, water. But different crops come out of the earth. That is a sign of the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. From one material, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala makes hundreds of different types of plants. One example of the favor and the greatness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. In short, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions another one. وَمِنَ الْجِبَالِ جُدَدٌ بِيضٌ وَحُمْرٌ مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُهَا وَغَرَابِيبُ سُودٌ. And look at the mountains, another sign of the greatness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The size, the sheer strength, and they are of different types. And then, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ وَالدَّوَابِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُهُمْ كَذَلِكَ. Similarly, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentioned by way of example the plants. Then He mentioned the mountains. Then He says that if you look at the animals, the cattle, and people, then you will find all the different types. This is also an example of the power of Allah Ta'ala. Every person is made in the same process. But there are so many different types. You will struggle to find two faces that are alike. And then what does Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala say? إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. From the servants of Allah Ta'ala, only those servants have the khashiyah and the fear of Allah Ta'ala who are ulama, who have knowledge. Here, ulama does not refer to ulama and scholars as we mention it. Ulama means those people who have ilm and true ilm. True ilm means that ilm which they practice upon. So those people who have ilm and practice upon their ilm, only they have khashiyah. What does this mean? This means that the quality of khashiyah and ilm and practice upon ilm go hand in hand. It is not possible that you find khashiyah, that you find that a person's heart has the love and reverence of Allah Ta'ala, but he does not make an effort to gain ilm and practice upon ilm. Impossible. And it is impossible that you see someone who has ilm and who is practicing upon ilm, but he does not have the love and reverence of Allah Ta'ala in his heart. No, no. These qualities are lazim, malzum, they are attached. And in this verse, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, He has also
indicated, hinted towards a very easy action which will go a long way to start to create this quality, which is pondering upon the favors of Allah Ta'ala. This is such an easy action which every single person can do. In fact, the more sinful a person is, the greater the effect of this action. Because a sinful person, when he, the more sinful a person is, the more guilty he will feel when he thinks about the blessings of Allah Ta'ala. So the greater the effect on him. So this is an action which every person can do. That a person takes a few minutes out, 5 minutes, on a daily basis, or if not, then on a weekly basis. On one day which he feels that if he is free. Nowadays, people will say that I don't even have 5 minutes. And if you, nowadays, smartphones get smarter and smarter. So you can check your screen time as well. So check your screen time on your smartphone. And you will find out that you have hours. So, I am saying take 5 minutes out. 5 minutes and choose any favor of Allah Ta'ala that comes to mind. And inshallah, you will never run out of favors to think about, because there is no lack of favors. Think about it. Think about what a great favor it is. In fact, when you start with one favor, you will realize that that one favor is a whole host of favors. If you take the example of food, then you will realize that this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me food. This is not one favor, this is a whole host of favors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me food. How does the food reach me? Then how am I able to utilize the food? After that, how does the harmful aspects of the food leave my body and the beneficial aspects remain inside? This is one blessing of Allah Ta'ala. This is a very easy action which will go a long way to creating this quality of khashiyah. What else can a person do to create this quality of khashiyah? Sit in the company of those people who have this quality in their hearts. In fact, it would not be incorrect to say this is the best method. Why am I saying it is the best method? Because the Quran tells us that the heart of every single Sahabi was filled with khashiyah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran regarding the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, that was sabiqun al awwaluna min al muhajirin. The first muhajirin, the muhajirin. Wal ansar and the ansar. Those are the majority of the Sahaba. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ And those who followed in the footsteps, the rest of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. And they are pleased with him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding every single Sahabi that رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them and they are pleased with him. And in another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, describes Jannah. Surah Al-Bayyinah. جزاؤهم عند ربهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا. And who are the people of Jannah? The people who رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. They are pleased with Allah Ta'ala and He is pleased with them. And what is another sign of these people? ذلك لمن خشي ربه. These are the people who have the khashiyah of their Rabb. Their hearts are full of the love and reverence of their Rabb. Because of which they do not disobey him. So every single Sahabi, his heart was full of the khashiyah, the love and the reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how did every single Sahabi gain this? By going near the heart of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By going into the company of the greatest heart, of the heart that was full of khashiyah. إِنِّي أَتْقَاكُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَأَخْشَاكُمْ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have the person who has the greatest taqwa and who has the greatest khashiyah. In fact, if we look into the seerah, we will find examples of Sahaba radiallahu anhu who, it would not be incorrect to say, they did not hear a word of the Quran. They accepted Islam one moment and then within a few hours they passed away. One Sahabi accepted Islam on the day of the Battle of Badr and he became shaheed then. And the Quran was revealed over time. So all the Sahaba who passed away in the lifetime of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they did not even hear the entire Quran. So you can say it is in terms of knowledge of the Quran, we have more knowledge of the Quran than they do. But their hearts were full of the khashiyah and the love of and reverence of Allah Ta'ala because of the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we do not have the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But because love, the khashiyah and love and reverence is a quality which every Muslim needs. And the best method to gain this quality is go into the company of people who have this quality in their hearts. So such people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep alive until the day of judgment. People who have such a level of ta'alluq with Allah. And you can say, in this hadith, one thing this hadith is saying is that it is given as a sign. It is saying that the people who have khashya, who have the love and reverence of Allah in their heart, what is in the heart, it doesn't stay hidden. What is in the heart doesn't stay hidden. If the love and reverence of Allah Ta'ala is present in the heart, it will show itself in one's actions. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying that the person whose tilawah is the best is that person that when you hear his tilawah, when you look at his tilawah, then straight away you understand that his heart is full of the love and reverence of Allah Ta'ala. When you see him, how he deals with the Quran, you understand that his heart is full of love and reverence for Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, it is full of love and reverence for the book of Allah Ta'ala as well. And from this hadith, we also understand that when a person's heart is filled with khashya, then every action, its benefit and its reward is greatly amplified, greatly increased. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that the person whose tilawah is the best, that means the person whose tilawah is most liked by Allah Ta'ala, that means the person whose tilawah is most rewarding, is that person whose heart has become full of this quality. So much so that when you see him, you can see that he has this quality in his heart. That tilawah is most liked by Allah Ta'ala. So, the time is short. Let us first make an intention to gain this quality.
Sure.
And today we have mentioned two very easy methods. The first, take out time every day, or at least every week, to ponder upon the favors of Allah Ta'ala. And think to yourself that, take a favor. For example, take the favor of the eyes. Sit in seclusion and think that, what did I do to earn this? What did I do to earn this? If I was to put a value on this blessing, what would the value of it be? And then, I didn't do anything to earn this. After it was given to me, have I behaved in a manner that I deserve to keep this blessing? And still I have the blessing. Inshallah, the day will not be far away when tears flow from your eyes as a result of this action. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that eye from which tears flow due to the khashiyah of Allah Ta'ala, Jahannam is haram upon such an eye. And of course, when Jahannam is haram upon the eye, that means it is haram upon the entire body. This is the virtue of creating this quality of khashiyah within your hearts. So this is the first action. And the second action, let us find those people who our understanding tells us that they have this quality of khashiyah as well. And let us make an effort to spend some time in their company. Inshallah, over time, this will also create khashiyah. These are two very easy actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. I should mention a third point, which is also very easy to practice upon, and which is particularly pertinent to the month of Ramadan. Khashiyah is a quality of the heart. And the nature of every quality, every good quality of the heart, is that in simple terms, if you don't have that quality within your heart, but you act as if you have that quality in your heart, then slowly that quality will be created. Let me give you an example. You don't have the feeling of generosity in your heart. You don't feel like spending upon people. You don't feel like discharging your zakat. Or if you discharge your zakat, you don't feel like giving charity. But you force yourself.
You force yourself time and time again. This will slowly create the quality of generosity in your heart. And a time will come when even when your pockets are empty, you will feel like giving. And you will wish that, I wish I had something that I could give. A person, he doesn't have the quality of sabr in his heart. Patience. When adversity comes, then he controls himself. He doesn't do anything that displeases Allah Ta'ala. But he forces himself. Then slowly, slowly the quality of sabr will be created in his heart. So the quality of khashya is the same thing. A person, he, one way of creating this quality is that a person doesn't have this quality in his heart, but he forces himself to behave as if he has this quality. He keeps trying to think about the love and the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Allah Ta'ala. Whenever he is carrying out an action, let us take the example of tilawah because it was mentioned in the hadith. So he does not have the love and reverence of Allah Ta'ala in his... Every Muslim has the love and reverence of Allah Ta'ala. But he does not have the sufficient level of love and reverence of Allah Ta'ala in his heart to keep him away from every form of disobedience to Allah. But when he opens the Quran, then he forces himself to behave with love and reverence in his tilawah. He doesn't look here and there. He applies perfume before reciting the Quran. He holds the Quran in a respected manner. If someone comes to talk to him, then he teaches himself to think that, no, I cannot talk to someone while the Quran is open. I must finish the verse, close the Quran, and then talk to the person. So his heart does not have this level of love and reverence. But he is forcing himself to behave as if he has love and reverence for the Quran, for Allah Ta'ala. This will also create the love and reverence of the Quran and of Allah Ta'ala in his heart. So this is, you can say, the third method. That even if you do not have this quality, behave as if you have this quality. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice someone who has been said. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.